Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back to the After the Sermon podcast. We are making our way quickly through the book of Acts. I am Pastor Ben here with Pastor Matt.
Hello, everyone.
And we're just going to continue to expand on some of the things we talked about on Sunday and give some context to just the way that the truths that we see, the establishment of the deacons in Acts chapter 6, just influence our life here with Grace Life Church and just how that plays out for us. We've seen lots of people getting saved. We've seen tongues and fire. We've seen people drop dead. And then I feel like when we finally get to Acts 6, we have a normal everyday problem that we can actually go, I can relate to this problem.
I love that when we get to Acts 6, all the things you just mentioned, but it's Acts 6 where it feels like, oh, we have a problem that we need to address. And you there's someone in the church where, man, what is normal around here? Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's a pivotal moment in the life of the church. And in Acts 6, as the church is growing, they're celebrating that. But with every growing church, with any church, there are growing pains. And so here, the widows were being neglected. They were missing out on a daily distribution of food. It was the church's responsibility to care for them. And the Hellenist or the Greek-speaking Jews spoke up and complained about them not being fed, and it made its way to the apostles, who said, it's not right for us to give up the preaching of God's word. But they, for a moment, I guess, had to give up the preaching of God's word to come to a conclusion on this matter. They could not continue on until this was dealt with. And they encouraged the church to find 7 men among them who are of good repute, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, to fulfill this role and serve these widows who had been neglected. And so they choose 7 men, 3 of which I could tell you the names right now without looking at. You have Stephen, you have Philip, and you have Timon. And that I can only remember Timon because I made a joke on Sunday off the cuff, and that's it stuck with me. But 5 of the men are never mentioned again in Scripture. Stephen, who we read about how he's martyred in chapter 7 and 8, we see the story of Philip. That's this coming Sunday. But other than that, they're just ordinary men who want to serve the Lord for the Lord's glory and serve for the good of the church. And so Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, gives us the office of the deacon to serve alongside the office of the elder.
Yeah, and we spent some time looking at some of those individual descriptions of those men, what set them apart. They, in verse 3, they're good repute. Yep. They're full of the Spirit and of wisdom.
Yep.
And they're appointed.
Yep.
So how does that help us just as we think through our leadership structure here?
Yeah. So there's 3 emphases: their character, their calling, and their competency. So they're called to do this task. The Lord works. The Lord through the Holy Spirit's in agreement. It's these 7 men. The church is in agreement. So they're called to fulfill this role. And then the first most important aspect of it is they're men of good repute. They are not, it does not say they have great skill sets. These are the best in the whole church when it comes to table logistics and serving others. Know that what set them apart was really their character. And so what we tell our leadership team and what we remind each other what in the characteristics, the qualifications listed in 1 Timothy is that character is king. There, it's not about skill set. The Lord can use someone with little skills to accomplish much. What he desires is people of high character. And so this is the expectation on these men and even in our church of our leaders is that they are people of high character. Their character reflects Jesus. Their character is holiness. It doesn't mean they're perfect, and it doesn't mean they're not going to make mistakes, but they're people of character. And then you see the competency. They're full of the Holy Spirit, and there's wisdom, meaning that everything they need to accomplish the task they've been called to, they have the Holy Spirit to do that, and they have wisdom to help accomplish that. So you really see this knitting together of the spiritual and the humanity, where as we're serving, one another. We're serving the church. We do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also do so knowing the Lord's given us wisdom in leading others.
We know, too, if you're having to organize seven men to make sure that this division of food is being done fairly across the board, it's not just that they needed seven people to show up and put food in bags. This is definitely a leadership. This is a coordinating effort and a holding accountable to whatever the system that they come up with or that existed and maybe just wasn't being followed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more to this than just, like you said, dropping off them. It's making like the food has, they're not going to grocery stores here. So you think of everything's got to be freshly made. So you have to, if they're not baking bread, someone's going to have to bake the bread. So there's work to this. It's collecting the items. So we have to think of this story in the context of first century church, that they didn't just go to Walmart or DoorDash a bag of Chick-fil-A or have it delivered. This was, yeah, coordinated effort. And the widows need to eat daily. So this is a major undertaking. And I think what you're hinting at is we often look at this as, well, they're just preparing food. But the advantages that we have in our culture, it does not take a lot of effort and energy for us to prepare meals.
Or to go through the grocery store and get a bag of extra food and drop Correct. It off at the food pantry.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so the coordinated effort, the logistics, all of it. It's not just the seven men that are doing this work. You have people who are providing this food, making sure it's there, making sure it's at the right place, and they took it seriously.
So for us, for our context, we say that our servant leaders really function as the deacons in our church, right? Yeah. The different ministry heads, the people who are coordinating efforts, coordinating volunteers, just like these men were with the distribution of the food. How does that help us as we support and pray for our servant leaders?
Yeah, so the one thing the apostles mention here, it's not right for us to give up the preaching of God's word. We want to commit to praying and God's word. So the office of pastor elder, we use those to help show the plurality of the pastor in our church. I think we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. Our main focus is to focus on the teaching of God's word. So when it comes to preparing sermons, that's a big chunk of time. And so if every leadership responsibility landed on our shoulders, we would not be able to do everything. And so at Grace Life, our servant leaders are our team ministry leaders. And so they carry the weight and responsibility of leading that ministry to thrive so that we can focus on what we're called to do. Because if I was kept to my normal pastoral responsibilities that I have now, and I had to lead Kid Life, it's not going to be one's going to be bad and one's going to be good. They're both going to be bad because no human being has the capacity to lead at such a large scale. You need people to come alongside of you and help, especially if you're a bivocational pastor like we are, where we're spending hours outside of the church ministry out in the marketplace. And so our deacons at Grace Life are our servant leaders. We use the phrase servant leaders to remind our church that, hey, they are serving, but they are leading. And they do so based out of the qualifications found in Scripture. Using Kid Life as an example, Chris Holstein does a great job of organizing the weekly teachers. He makes sure they have the supplies they need. He makes sure that the teacher's there. He puts a vision in place. He fills in when there's not a teacher there. He's also getting to know those kids. So that's a lot of responsibility that I would not be able to do, or you would be able to do, because of our role as pastor elders.
Yeah, and you've already said it, but it's the difference in the roles. There's leadership in both, but when we look at those qualifications in 1 Timothy and in other places, 1 Peter, see that the primary distinction between the roles is that teaching element.
Yeah, because it's not, the apostles aren't saying it's not right for us to do this because they're better than it. And that, unfortunately, is a posture many pastors, unfortunately, take, that, hey, I'm above this. And that's why we have the accountability that we have to make sure that doesn't happen. It's not that they can't wait the tables. It's that they shouldn't wait to tables, because to do so would be giving up their primary calling, which focuses on God's word. And it's good for the whole church to be involved in the service of the local church, not just one or two people.
Yeah, and it goes back to the analogy that Paul gives about the body.
Yeah.
Different parts of our body function in different ways, but they all come together in order to make one whole being.
Yeah. And when one part's not doing its responsibility, the whole body suffers. I have a cut on my middle toe, on my right foot. Don't know how it happened. And it hurts. It's like a paper cut. And so now I'm walking funny, because if I walk, I can feel the cut. Mm-hmm. And so I'm over compensating so I don't touch it. Now my ankle and calves hurt because I think it may have thrown off my back just from something small. So that's the illustration that Paul gives us, is if the body is not doing what the body is supposed to doing, or it's lacking or it's hurting, then the whole body suffers. And so if the church, local church ministry, lands on the shoulders of one or two people that just happen to be the pastor elders, then the body's going to suffer, because I'm not going to be able to preach God's word in a way that's refreshing and rejuvenating from my own soul, because I spend all week dealing with other ministries and serving there. And God, in his good design, through a desire to build the church through Christ, said, hey, the local church, everybody has a role, and every role is important for the life of the church and for the glory of God.
Yeah. I think it's important too that it's everybody. It's not just
correct
pastor elders, not just servant leaders, but every person
is
brought together to serve and to contribute, not just to consume and sit.
Correct. Yeah, it's very easy to quickly become a consumer. We're in a consumer culture, and the church becomes like that. And then I think in our church, we've set it up as, hey, there's some expectations here. If you're a member of our church, we expect you to participate in the life of that church. That looks like financial giving and serving. And it's not in a way that is overburdensome, right? There's people in our church that they do what may appear to be a small thing, but it's a significant thing. And a lot of times it's behind the scenes that nobody knows. And it's,
if I had to come up here and vacuum on Saturdays, that would
right.
be not something that I can't do, but
correct.
It's so nice to know that someone else is taking care
correct.
Of that.
Yep.
So we walk in Sunday morning, it's clean and fresh.
Correct. Yep.
So what action steps can we give to people in the various sort of positions they find themselves currently?
All right. So let's start with the Grace Life attender / member who's not serving. Let's start there. I would say find a place to serve. We're not going to throw you into the wolves, right? Everybody has a gifting, something they're passionate about. So let's find a place. I mean, if you came to us or Tim at the connections table on Sunday morning and said, I'm ready to serve, it's not going to be like, we might be able to find a role for you right there.
Cool. Hold the baby right now.
Yeah. Here you go. It might take some conversations to figure out where that place is and getting you into, like, I know Kid Life, the schedule that they've built out is a couple months out. So it takes some time to get into the flow of it. So for one, I would say reach out, find a place. It could be singing. It could be the cleaning team. It could be media.
Showing up early and folding bulletins.
Folding bulletins, putting flags out on this. Everything is being done. Someone is doing it. And then be patient while we find that role. For the one that is a member that is serving, my encouragement would be to, hey, what, for one, as you're serving, don't forget your character matters, right? So show up on time. Use Planning Center. I think as our church is growing and we're building our servant leader team and working with them, I think my biggest, I could summarize my job maybe in two sentences. I'm going to preach God's word to God's people, and I'm going to push God's people to use Planning Center just for the sake of the leaders. So if you're serving, you communicate, watch your character. And then if there's a leadership gap somewhere, or as our church is growing and the more we grow, the more leadership roles we'll have, step into that. And then for everybody, it's to pray for our servant leaders. Pray for Howie as he practices throughout the week in his guitar, and he prays over what songs that we are to sing that help us emphasize the scriptures, pray for Angie and Tim as they prepare for new families and all the responsibilities they have with connections and hospitality, and Chaz and Kayla Demps as they lead student ministry, and praying for the teenagers and those needs there, praying for Chris Holstein and Kid Life. That's a big undertaking in a space that's limited, and he's doing a great job. They all are. Kendra Butler, pray for her. She leads these babies.
And there's babies are turning into toddlers now.
And then those they're turning into toddlers, and then we got babies coming. And so it's a great need, lots of needs in our church. And Darren, I was like, man, I'm missing one of our leaders. Darren leading life groups, you know, and with that, raising up new life group leaders. Our life group had 37 people at it. That's three life groups in that group. Mm-hmm. And so Darren's thinking through expanding our life groups. And so that comes with, is it going to be at a house? What day is it going to be? What are we working through? So there's a lot of, they're thinking through, like the deacons in Acts 6, the logistics of a lot of responsibilities so that the ministry of the local church can continue.
Because if I had to think about that, my answer would be, you're fine. 37 is fine.
37 is fine. Let's, you know, we can add 15 more, and then it's, now we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting.
You can fit 90 in there. It's fine.
We could do it.
Any other last thoughts or just things that we didn't get to highlight as much on Sunday as you wanted to?
Yeah, Sunday's sermon was, it was a, in my mind, and I thought about starting it off this way a little bit, was it was like that HR reminder that HR will send people and just, hey, don't forget, this is how our company is structured. So I think it's a good reminder how God has structured the church. You have the office of pastor, elder, and you have the office of deacon, or as we say at Grace Life, servant leader. And understanding those roles and how the church relates to them, how the church understands is good. And I think the role of pastor, elder would be much, much harder and maybe even impossible if it were not for the humility of servant leaders in a local church. So God does an incredible thing in Acts chapter 6 that really the church hasn't looked back on. Now, there's been some issues throughout church history where deacon boards become the position of power. I served on a deacon board once, and it was our responsibility to staff pastors or unstaff them. Mm-hmm. So that becomes the deacons have the authority in the church. In scripture, the deacons have no authority over the entirety of the church. That authority is given from Christ to the elders. And so a deacon could say, this is where we're going. And the church has the right to say,
that's maybe where you're going.
That's where you're going. We need to pray through this. But if the pastor elders, like in our members meeting, will make some statements and pray through some things and saying, this is where we're going as a church, then scripture says that the church obviously double checks with scripture, make sure it's, but trusting that the elders are leading the church the way God desires them to lead. There's a lot more, even we could talk about why we have multiple pastor elders. And we talked a little bit about that on Sunday. Pastor Ben and I are equals. I do most of the Sunday morning preaching, but that doesn't mean you're an assistant pastor. And I think some people might think that just from their
church background.
What would you say? How would you explain to someone the plurality of elders from, how would you explain it as not being the main communicator, what that plurality of elders actually looks like? Because I think we don't have to remind people that I'm the pastor. I'm a pastor, mm-hmm. But it's why I always call you Pastor Ben. It's why we encourage that, to help people remember, hey, we're in this together. So what would you say to,
if you think of it from a business sense, which I never necessarily like to use a business analogy with the church, but you have two people who are managers. They are equal in responsibility, in role, in authority. One of them only works 2 days a week because they have something else going on, versus one might work 5 days a week.
Yeah.
The one that works more is going to be seen more because they're around more.
Yeah.
But the actual job title, the responsibilities, the way in which it plays out are equal. They're just different based on just the context of what's going on in the life of the individual.
Yeah. So what it looks like for us is like what we just did before we recorded this is I walked through the sermon series that I'm preaching in January and February and just not really getting your feedback, but welcoming it and just making sure it's on the right path, that I'm not saying something that scripture's not saying. We go through our Sunday liturgy, our Sunday order of service together, and then we're praying for one another to, yeah, I think your illustration's great. The authority doesn't rest on who is seen the most. And so the church should recognize both of us, and they do, that we're both on the equal playing field. So really in our members meeting coming up, if I were to be sick and I couldn't make it, we don't have to cancel the members meeting because you as a pastor elder in our church still have the weight to lead the authority to lead the local church. So, and it's good for checks and balances and accountability. And there's been things that we've disagreed on and that we've, I don't know if debate's the right word. They haven't been heated or anything.
No, it's always just wrestling with what is scripture truly saying? Like, they're never personal debates.
Yeah.
It's wanting to make sure that we're leading the church well.
And so if we're introducing something to a church, it's not just my idea. It's not just Pastor Ben's idea. It's we're in this together. Like
And I always say this half jokingly, but really it's the truth. We'll come to a conclusion or we'll look back and it's clearly spirit driven. We're like, correct, man, we didn't plan that.
Yeah.
Or we can say like physically on paper, maybe we planned it, but we didn't realize how perfectly it was planned outside of our power.
Correct. We'll make this statement. It's like someone else is in charge around here.
Uh-huh. Which is really good.
Which is true.
But I think that's also where the wrestle is, because we want to make sure that it's not just
correct
our own human preferences or.
Yeah.
You know.
And that goes into leadership training and missions efforts. And we're talking about things, this is behind the scenes a little bit, but we're talking about things that we're wanting to do this time next year. And what does 2026 look like? And so we're praying through these things so that when we do present something to the church, it's been prayed over, it's been thought through. We've asked questions, and a lot of times we want to lead in such a way where nobody's asking questions like, are you sure? We want to lead in such a way that says, oh, we're for sure. And we're going, because this is where the Holy Spirit takes us, which leads people who would at times, like people have questioned decisions and I had to push back. No, we're not going to do this. Here's the reason why. And so that's, and you go, how a complaint at the, going back to Acts chapter 6, how a making a complaint without any information is damaging. Hmm. So when someone brings a complaint and like on the surface, it sounds okay. But not knowing all the details, we can go back. There's example when we were trying to find a new space for during COVID and we couldn't go back to school. A lot behind the scenes happened. A lot of things they were going to regulate, a lot of things they were going to make. And we didn't feel right about that. Like we prayed through and we're like, I don't feel right. And so people were like, why don't we just go back to the school? And so finally I was like, all right, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? Are you going to sign this? And we knew the answer was no. And so
instead of
thinking we're not doing things, maybe, and we've talked about being more transparent with that, but patiently working through it, trusting that, hey, we want to go where God is going. And sometimes if we don't have a clear direction, we're not doing it. It's not worth it, which we'll talk a little bit in our members meeting here in a couple of weeks. So it's a way, the pastoral role, I'd love to talk more about this too. And we're running out of time, but the pastoral role is weighty and responsible and a lot of responsibility. And that's why it's so good to have the servant leaders that we have who are doing a great job leading and growing these ministries and working through the vision of our church to share God's grace with every life.
Yeah. And as we continue to move forward, continue to grow, we'll continue to see the people that God calls into more servant leadership roles and more pastor elders. It's not going to be just the Matt show or the Ben and Matt show.
That's a very true point. Like we're working to raise up more elders because that's important. And I think we're already feeling the stretch of just the two of us. Mm-hmm. You're working 50 plus hours outside of Grace Life. I'm pushing 25-30 hours outside of Grace Life. And this is the reality of church ministry across the country, around the world. And I think it's God's design that it was Paul meeting with the elders in Ephesus. That's a plurality. It wasn't just the elder.
Right.
It was they're working together.
Well, and then Paul himself, although he wasn't an elder, he had a full-time travel job to go to all these churches. Plus, he was making tents.
Making tents. Yeah, yeah. So it's a reminder that the work of the local church is a collective. And as I mentioned Sunday, don't be the person in the group project that never does anything. That is harmful, not only to the group, but for yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will look forward to looking and seeing just some more of what the Spirit does. Speaking of Paul, we're going to finally get back into his origin story a little bit. And looking at, are we talking about Stephen at all? Or
a little bit.
Yeah. Just because they're all, that's the next thing that happens. We see this persecution coming, and then the first martyr and the first evangelist, which is pretty incredible out of these ordinary guys that we were just talking about. Just encourage you, if you haven't found your place to serve, to plug in, we can help you find those things patiently, dumping a new ministry on you next week. But we know the joy that comes in serving the local church and in finding those places to connect, to grow and influence with the gospel and to share God's grace with every life. Come see Tim at the Blue Table. Come find me. Come find Pastor Matt. We'll get that process started for you. Otherwise, we will look forward to seeing you Sunday and just continuing our journey through the books of Acts.